Thank you, Beth. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Romans chapter 6. In the Christian calendar, we have seasons. And even though the Evangelical Free Church is not what we would consider a church that is high church, with a liturgy and matching colors to boot, as Christians in what is a low church, where we come as we are, we still observe the seasons of the Christian calendar. And so we might not participate here with Lenten services on a Wednesday evening, which is high church, which is mainline denominations. And it's not to say that we won't do that in the future, but it will still be concerned here with come as you are and worship Almighty God. However, in the season we're now in, it began last Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. We are in the season of Lent, and it's a 40-day period of preparation for Easter. And there are typical texts that high church liturgy will preach on and use during the season of Lent, because we all recognize that the Lenten season is to prepare ourselves for our risen King. However, it is not a preparation like any other preparation that we normally get. We normally prepare for. That doesn't sound right in my brain for some reason. You know, when you get ready to go to a party and have fun, you shave, you shower, you get the nice clothes out, you get the checkbook so that when you go there, you know, and you have a nice meal and you can cut a check and you know, you prepare by washing and getting ready and cleaning up. Or, you know, you're having guests over for a meal on Thanksgiving. You know, you clean everything. I mean, you know, you even clean the dust bunnies. I mean, so that the dust bunnies that you have are clean. And if anybody does look underneath that couch, they see clean dust bunnies, not dirty dust bunnies. I mean, we clean. We get ready. Lent is not like that. In Lent, we focus on our need for cleansing, so that when we get to Easter, we can be cleansed. Lent is preparation and penitence. It is repentance from our sin and our selfishness and our greed and our lust and our lying and our own depravity. Because, beloved, apart from God, you and I are wretched sinners. And we cannot move away from that fact, especially in Lent. I guesstimate that 98% of the people in this room are saved people. Ooh, I wonder if Pastor thinks I'm one of the 2%. Don't know, what is he saying? So we're across the threshold. We've come to faith in Christ, and we believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven us for our sins. So why do I still need to prepare for Easter to be cleansed when my sins have already been forgiven? Well, as Paul so very politely puts it, we're a little thick. We're a little thick in our heads and in our hearts. And even though we try to escape our sinfulness by focusing on the forgiveness we have in Christ, which is absolutely true, and although we try to ignore the sins that we commit every day, we need to be reminded to repent and to trust God, maybe not for salvation, but in whom we serve. And so in a couple of weeks, we will get to some of those typical Lenten passages, but we're going to finish out chapter 6 this week and next week. And it's ironic, divinely ironic, that our passage this morning, 15 through 19, speaks to us of ourselves in relation to Almighty God and our sin and how it is that we serve. You see, God's gospel sets us free from sin and death. God has been through Paul's pen declaring to us that we are dead to sin and alive unto him. That we have been united with Christ in his death, and if so, we shall be united with him in his life. And last week, we were encouraged not to let sin reign in our mortal bodies so that we obey its lusts, and not to go on presenting the members of our body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present ourselves to God as those alive from the dead. Now, I know that last week, I picked out a few kind of simple sins. Did you remember I talked about paper clips? Remember how I talked about stealing paper clips from the office? You remember that? Maybe you don't remember that one. Remember how I talked about music and you know, possibly engaging in and listening to and supporting a certain kind of music that is not God glorifying, etc. Might be a sin that I present my members. You remember that one? No, you probably, well, maybe you do. I don't know. You probably remember the other one that I've kind of skipped over about being late and how sinful that is. Well, the reason why I picked simple things was because I wanted to illustrate the fact that we should, in the body of Christ, know that when we present ourselves to adultery and fornication and pornography and murder, that those are really bad. But they're just as bad when we present ourselves to sins of stealing and of bad stewardship of our time and gifts and talents. And so maybe with the late one and the paper clips and the music, I was meddling a little. And pastors aren't supposed to meddle, are they? They're supposed to just do the big sins. A good friend of mine has a thing that I always try to remember, that my job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Well, that's actually not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so maybe I put that stuff out there a little bit, but my intention was to show that when we present ourselves and our members to sin, that we obey its lusts and are instruments of unrighteousness. But God's gospel has set us free from sin and death. And God, if we have faith in Jesus Christ and are one of his children, sons or daughters, that God is our master. God is the Lord. And what he says goes. He doesn't ask for our opinion. He doesn't take a survey in a church of what is right or wrong. His expectation is that we present ourselves to him as servants, as slaves. And so Paul again addresses that. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? No, may it never be. We can go on sinning and be adulterers and fornicators and thieves and murderers because God is gracious to us and he's going to forgive us anyways. That's his job. No, that's not true, Paul says. And if you or I think that, we have some serious business to do with God in preparing to be cleansed at Easter. Repentance. Turning from our sin unto God. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? The first thing, because God is the master, God has set us free from sin and death in Jesus Christ, because we have died with Christ and are alive unto God, you and I need to accept the truth and the consequences. And the truth is that with respect to knowing and experience God's grace, his grace is given to us not on the basis of anything we've done, and in spite of the things that we actually have done. What then? Shall we sin because we're under the law? Not under the law, but under grace? It's the same as he started out in verse 1 of this chapter. Shall we sin so that grace might abound? May it never be. We need to understand in knowing and experience God that his grace is given to us so that we would not sin and serve sin as our master, but rather that we would serve him. You see, that's the truth. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we rationalize and think and move towards freedom, we are not free individuals. Not in the sense of liberty of our own personage. We will serve someone. We will either serve sin or we will serve God. And if we serve sin, the consequence is death. Now, you can walk on that road if you want to, but you must realize that the truth of serving yourself and sin is death. There are only two options, and each option has a definite consequence. And beloved, it's not like it's hidden. We're not on Let's Make a Deal, where Monty Hall or what's the new guy? Wayne Brady. I'm home sometimes in the afternoon. You know, my job lets me do that. Where you can take what's in the box or what's in the envelope. You can take what's behind door number one or door number two. There might be a zonk. There might be a better prize. There might be, No. We know what the doors are, and we know what's behind the doors. There is the door that is sin, and behind it is death. And there is the door that is obedience, and behind it is righteousness. Oh, who's going to pick sin and death? Thick people. People who don't accept the truth or the consequences. People who presume upon the grace of God and don't understand. I can sin all I want because God will forgive me. No. Paul tells us right here, God tells us right here, do you not know when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? John Calvin said, obedience is the mother of true knowledge of God. Now, we're all here at church because we want to know God, right? We're not here to make better business contacts. We're not here to make a show for anybody in the community, especially on a day like today with weather. We're not here to eat a really good meal that smells awesome. We're here to deepen our relationship with God, to know him. Obedience, Calvin said, is the mother of knowing God. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey, either sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Do you not know that? Of course you do. Of course they do. We need to accept the truth and the consequences. They cannot be escaped. It's not a mystery. It's not really all that hard. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Not only because God is the master and he has set us free from sin and death, do we need to deal with the truth, accept the truth and the consequences? But we need to get off the fence. We need to choose. If you have come to faith in Christ, there remains no neutral position. Get off the fence. Look at verse 17. There's one word in here that is wonderful. I mean, they're all wonderful, but there's one that should jump off the page at those who follow Christ, those people who follow Christ, claim the name of Christ. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, were, If you have come to faith in Christ, it is past tense. It is who you were. If you have never come to faith in Christ, or you think you have, and you're still serving sin, you better see that question mark in front of your face. You were slaves to sin. Coming to faith in Christ, there is no neutral ground. But, another word I love, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. When you came to faith in Christ and you were converted, you were committed unto the care of Almighty God, to that form of teaching that says, turn from your sin. I will take out of them a heart of stone and put into them a heart of flesh. That is God's job. You obeyed God at your conversion. And beloved, you and I know that at one point in time, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, whether in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is the Master. Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether or not you or I obey Him as Lord, treat Him as Master, do what He says, obey from the heart is irrelevant to the fact that He is Lord. There are two doors. Get off the fence. The fact that He is Lord eliminates the fence sitting. Because if you call Him Lord, you will obey. There is no option. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord, how can you say no and He still be Lord? How is that logically possible? How is that spiritually possible? It isn't. It's as simple as that. Accept the truth and the consequences. Get off the fence. And understand that when we have been freed from sin, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Our problem with this part of the text is that you and I have this notion of degradation that comes with slavery. We see masters in movies and in history books and other places that ill-treat their slaves. They beat them. They do horrible things to them. They separate husbands and wives and sons and daughters. And that's not the way that a believing Christian, especially a Jew, would have understood slavery. Yes, there was that. But our minds can't conceive of a willful submission to God. Christian freedom is slavery to God. God frees us from our former master, which is sin that leads to death when we come to faith in Christ, and He brings us into His family as sons and daughters to be His servants and His slaves. Not to beat us, not to separate us, not to ill-treat us, but to be His and His alone. And that's why we are obedient from our hearts. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Next time, there is an option in front of you. Children, no matter how old you are, next time there's an option in front of you to obey or not obey, think about who it is that you're a servant to. Who it is that you're going to serve. Are you going to serve sin and disobey? Or are you going to serve God and obey righteousness and do what God wants you to do? The next time there is an opportunity to take the paper clips from the office. Okay, that's a metaphor, by the way. And the option and the doors are in front of you, beloved. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to submit to? Who are you going to be identified as the slave of? Sin resulting in death? Or obedience to God resulting in righteousness? The liberty which Christ has purchased for believers under the gospel consists in their yielding obedience unto him, not out of slavish fear, but out of childlike love and a willing mind. That's the Puritan confession of faith. The hardest part for you and I to conceive of is yielding obedience unto him. Because we want what we want when we want it. And God is gracious and gives me everything I want. It's a yielded obedience to him, not out of fear, but out of childlike love and a willing mind. We need to accept the truth and the consequences because God is the master. We need to get off the fence. And then, beloved, we need to leave the weakness behind. We need to leave the weakness behind. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. The reason why I didn't get all super spiritual on you, but I use this illustration of slavery unto sin and slavery unto obedience and righteousness unto God, is because your flesh is weak. You're hard. You're thick-headed. You're prideful. You're calloused. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. And it could be two kinds of weakness. And we do need to decide which one operates here. It could be an intellectual weakness. They have a difficulty in understanding spiritually what is going on with this slavery. That could very well be true. As a matter of fact, it probably is the intent of Paul. But there is what follows that tells us that their problem is in their moral behavior. They might have a moral weakness, and it's the temptation to live independently from God, free from him. Because we want to be free. We don't want to be the slaves of anyone. We don't want to serve anyone. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Think of what you do with your hands and your eyes and your ears and your feet and all the parts that we cover up with clothes. Think about what you do with them. And who you're presenting them to when you click on that site that you shouldn't, that you know you shouldn't. When you enter into that physical relationship that you know you shouldn't be entering into. When you are disobedient to your parents, you've heard. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which result in further lawlessness, you go ahead and present yourself there, and guess what? It's going to lead to the next time, and to the next time, and to the next time. Unless you break that cycle and present yourselves and your members, your hands and your eyes and your ears, as slaves to righteousness, which result in sanctification, setting yourself apart unto God, away from sin and this world. You know, back in the 80s, I don't know if it's true so much today, when I was an undergraduate, there was a big movement at the University of Buffalo for people to be individuals and independent and not like anybody else. And they dressed differently, and they acted differently, and they talked differently. And I remember being in the library one day, and as for our Campus Crusade for Christ meeting, I had drawn up some buffaloes that were kind of in a triangle in a herd, and the caption was "Follow the Herd," and it was to our event. And there were three guys that were standing behind me in line that I thought were going to beat me up. Because, I mean, literally, they were very upset that I recommended that they would be following the herd. No, no, we got to be independent. So let's all be independent together, which makes us all together as one anyways. But logically speaking, there was, I don't know if that's true today. I don't know. Do people still want to be independent and free and do their own thing and not have any consequences? I'm, by the way, being sarcastic. You and I are not free. We were free in the beginning to enjoy fellowship with God, and then sin entered the world. We must be set free from sin to serve God. And the solution is to present ourselves to the Master. And the result is that we will be set apart from the rest. Do you ever have anybody ask you, there's something different about you? That's a good sign that you're well on your way to presenting yourselves unto the Master. How does it apply? Well, I mentioned early on about the little sins that I used last week and the big sins that I kind of hit today. But beloved, there are no little sins and big sins. It's all sin. And whoever you present yourself to, you're going to get the result of. You want to be an adulterer? Know that the outcome of that is death. You want to be disobedient? Know that the result of that is death. You want to be a murderer? You know that the result of that is death. You want to be a thief? Present your hands and your bodies to that sin and know that the result is death. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient, having been freed from sin. If you know Jesus Christ, move in those circles to present your members as slaves to righteousness, to obedience to God. You will be different. You and I are here to know God. Obedience to God brings us to deeper knowledge of Him. Do not think for a second that you know God more when you sin. It is not possible to be disobedient to Almighty God and know Him better. Well, I experience more of His grace when I sin and He forgives me. Did you not hear verse 15? What? Should we go on sinning so that grace might increase because we're not under law but under grace? Foolishness. May it never be. Final application and then conclusion. We have said repeatedly and will continue to say that this isn't about the institution or the organization. It's about our relationship with God. The reason why we obey and are slaves unto righteousness, slaves to obedience resulting in righteousness, is because of our relationship with Almighty God. We don't work up His favor or His grace by doing what is right. We do what is right because of His grace in our lives. And so, by way of conclusion, we are in Lent. A season for repentance. A season to prepare for the coming, the death and the resurrection of Almighty God in Christ. Where He breaks the power of canceled sin. Where we who sing about our wandering hearts, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for your courts above. Prepare. Do some introspection. And if you need a little help, ask someone close to you who will be honest with you about the sin in your life. Ooh, now I'm meddling again. I'm going to get emails on that. That's all right. I don't think we need that kind of help. The Holy Spirit will convict you of your sins if you ask Him to. And then when He does, Accept the truth and the consequences. Get off the fence and leave the weakness behind as you prepare for Easter. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Period. Amen. End of sentence. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time, this day, and this hour. And we'll sing in a minute, leaning on the everlasting arms. And 'tis so sweet to trust. And it is. It's so very good, Lord. And I know that we don't have to wait 40 days to be forgiven of our sins. But we do have to deal with them. Because we so easily fall into the trap of just presuming upon your grace rather than presenting ourselves in obedience to righteousness. And so help us to be honest with the little sins and the big sins, even though we know that there is no category like that. Because of who you are, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand. to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more.
After we close in prayer, we will serve our dinner together. So I will close with a word of blessing and grace on the meal. Please feel free to stay and fellowship together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we need to keep short accounts with you. In our repentance, in our penitence, there may be something that you have made us aware of in our lives that has been standing there for years, weeks, months, more than just days or hours, that we need to turn from and repent. We thank you that you are waiting with open arms to forgive us in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, maybe today is the day when we cross the threshold and are saved for the very first time, the only time. We do ask, Lord, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit so that we would repent of those things and present ourselves. And like Paul, Father, we commend ourselves to you as he commended those in the book of Acts with these words. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, set apart. We need you to do that, Lord. We cannot do it on our own. And so we commend ourselves unto you. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Oh, let's pray for the food. Father, we do thank you for the time that we can spend and the gifts that have been prepared. We do ask for your hand of blessing upon these gifts and the giver in our time together. We thank you that we can take this meal together and be with each other. May we honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.